Good evening, church family, and anybody else who might be watching this. Let me first of all say happy Mother's Day. Hope you've had a great Mother's Day. It's been a little bit warm, but I guess that's better than what it was a couple months ago. We've had a wonderful day after our spent some time in worship this morning with you all here on Facebook. We had brunch together, and we went for a walk. It's just been a wonderful day. I hope you've enjoyed yours. I hope also that you've been following along with us in our Bible studies on Sunday mornings and our worship times on Sunday mornings, and these on Sunday night and Wednesday night as well. They've both been so great. Our Sunday morning class that John McCarthy's been doing has been so timely. Has been so good for us. This morning's class was just so many great reminders of where Joseph was and the patience that he had to show, the waiting on God, that whole discussion. And then our service, our worship services that our elders have been conducting. I don't know if you've watched very many of these across the country, people who are doing their worship services on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Not very many have their elders all doing the worship service. I think that is so great. That's so encouraging to me. And I hope you've been taking part in these. As I mentioned the last time I did this, I think, I've been spending a lot of time reading in this time of distancing and quarantine. I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament. I was reading about some of the time of captivity, but then I kind of backed up and started reading what led up to that. And what I want to talk about tonight is just after Judah goes into captivity in Assyria, or just after Israel goes into captivity in Assyria, and Judah's standing alone. I want to look in 2 Kings 18 at the life of Hezekiah for just a few minutes. Hezekiah is the 12th king of Judah. He's the son of Ahaz. Ahaz was a terrible king, idolatrous king. But Hezekiah was a man of some really great qualities. He was a comfort to his people who were suffering, dealing with the king and his idolatry, his father. And even the prophets that condemned Ahaz pointed to Hezekiah as the savior of his people even before he came to the throne. The people were at the bottom. They were in the pit, as John talked about this morning. The whole nation was in a pit of spiritual, political depravity. And as soon as Hezekiah comes to the throne, he dedicates himself to reversing all that. He gets rid of idolatry. He tears down the idolatrous groves that some of his predecessors had even allowed to stay up. But he turns his people back toward, people weren't crazy about it, but he turned his people back away from idolatry toward God. And it's these actions, these acts that helped Hezekiah succeed in his efforts to eliminate idolatry and to become the great king that he became, which has made me think a little bit. Richard said, I believe it was in the Treasure Valley Virtual Summit lesson that Richard did. He talked about having some idols that we've had to tear down, kind of like what Hezekiah had to do. And maybe it's a leap to say that they were idols, but I will say we've had to get rid of some comforts. I think that's been pretty obvious. And it's made me think, as we've had to get rid of some of these things, what does it mean to really be God's people? What does that really mean about us to be God's people no matter what? No matter what the situation, we've learned it's not our buildings. If we didn't know that before, it's certainly, I hope we've figured that out now. It's not our building, it's not our programs, it's not the activity that we can do. It's us. That's what is God's people. That's who are God's people. And so what does that mean? What does it mean to be God's people? I think Hezekiah's life story can give us some great insights into a man who did some great things, a man we can learn a whole lot from. But I think it's his reaction, his experiences, that are really the teachers in all of these stories. His life teaches us at least three lessons that we can take about what it means to really be God's people. I'm going to be looking at 2 Kings chapters 18 through 21. This is where we're going to skim through there is the first idea here. But what we see is that God's people, God's person, is very human. We look at Hezekiah's actions. The scriptures don't paint him out to be some sort of superhero by any means. They show him as a guy with a spotty record, a guy who made some mistakes, a guy who did some great things, some good things, but he did some bad things, made some stupid choices. Some very bad choices. Getting rid of idols was a great thing. Getting rid of idols was absolutely great for his people. Following God, looking to God when he's in a time of crisis, great things. but showing off his wealth to the Babylonians. We'll see in a few minutes. That was terrible. That was a stupid move. That was something he shouldn't have done. And then, and I don't know, I can't make a blanket statement about this, but something happened in his parenting. His son Manasseh turns out to be one of the worst kings ever. So Hezekiah is by far not a perfect person. He's far from being perfect. Like many of us, he has a history of some ups and downs. That sounds like me. Maybe you hear yourself being described to some degree. That's how we are. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. But see, being God's person doesn't mean that we're perfect. Thank goodness. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. Certainly we try. I believe Hezekiah tried. Don't hear me saying this is an excuse to sin and to make bad choices. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. But what defines God's people is that we remain faithful to God despite our failures and despite our successes, that we remain connected to God. We're never asked to be sinless. We try. Hezekiah tried, but we slip like he slipped. But we have one who didn't. We have one who was perfect, which really leads us to the next idea. Hezekiah made a lot of mistakes, but he had his flaws and he knew it. So what we take from that is that God's person is one who relies completely on God, because we know we're going to make mistakes. Hezekiah seemed to have an automatic reaction that we can certainly learn a great deal from. When something bad happens, he goes to God with it. He goes to God in prayer with it, for the most part. And that's an incredible, that's an awesome example. Our reaction, or maybe I should say my reaction, tends to be, let me see if I can fix it. And then I go, wow, I should be praying about this. Look over at 2 Kings chapter 19, and begin in verse 14. It's a little bit of a long reading, but this is when the nation is being threatened by Sennacherib of Assyria. Assyria, again, is the nation who's just recently taken Israel off into captivity. And he's being threatened by this king. Listen to how he handles this, beginning in verse 14. He has this letter from Sennacherib saying, here's what we're going to do to you. Verse 14, Hezekiah took the letter from the messenger's hands, read it, and went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you made the heavens and the earth. Listen closely, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Hear the words that Sennacherib has sent to mock the living God. Lord, it is true that the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but made by human hands. That is such a great statement, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, Lord, verse 19, now, Lord our God, please save us from his power, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are God, you alone. That is so great. He knew that he needed to go to God to have God handle this. Now, if you scoot over to chapter 20, sorry, I'm going to have to adjust this right here. Scoot over to chapter 20. This is when, chapter 20, verse 1, Isaiah has come to him and basically told him, you're a dead man walking. So that you have this illness, you're going to die. So in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 2, look what happened. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, remember how I have walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly and have done what pleases you. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. That sounds like a guy who knew that he had to go to God for help, right? That sounds like a guy that knew that he had to rely on God. Now, think about this. Go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 21. Compare this to King Ahab. You remember King Ahab? When King Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard and couldn't have it, what did he do? In 1 Kings 21, verse 4, he turns his face to the wall, and what does he do? He pouts. That is so not what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah realizes that his first response needs to be prayer. His first response needs to be seeking God's will. And truth is, just like it happens with all of us, truth is the times that he failed, it was because he failed to do that. It's because he failed to go to God first. That's how he has success. That's how we'll have success, especially spiritual success, which is really what matters, right? Now, there's another one in 2 Kings chapter 20. This jumped out at me. I think this is so great. 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 19. Back up. This is, again, with Sennacherib. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, he, this is Hezekiah, Hezekiah sent Eliakim, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priests who were wearing sackcloth to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that he knew when he was in a bad situation, he needed to seek the words of the Lord. He goes to the prophet. I mean, that is so great. He goes to where he can get God's words, where he can get the information he needs. We can't do that the same way. We can't go to a prophet, but we can go to God's words right here, right? This is what we do. We go to what God's word has to say. We seek God's counsel. That's Psalm 1, 1 and 2, isn't it? How happy is the man who isn't planted in bad places or whatever, but it says, but the one who seeks God's instructions. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us. We get that knowledge through God's word, just like Hezekiah knew that he needed to go to the man of God, the prophet, to find out what God wanted him to do. Not all of us are kings, obviously. So if we look at this man as a king and see that he knew that he needed to rely on God, that he needed to turn to God first, shouldn't that be a lesson to all of us, that we should be prepared to look to God and to his example, to his instructions when we're facing struggle? Who's going to see us through when we're in a time of, that's a time of trial or a time of difficulty? Who's going to see us through? Well, God is. Which really leads then to the final lesson, what I really think is the main thing that we can take from Hezekiah, that God's person lives by the grace of God. Think about Hezekiah, despite his mistakes, really even some compound mistakes, you know, he showed off the treasury of Judah to the Babylonian envoys, what they shouldn't have done. And then after he finds out he has this illness and he's going to die, and then God decides you're not going to die, what he's happy about is that, you know, the problem's going to come down the line after I'm already dead to stay or whatever. So, I mean, he compounds some of his mistakes, but God blesses him anyway, which is such an incredible lesson. See, when you think about that, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up when you compare the blessings he received compared to his track record. But see, that's the great thing, is that grace doesn't add up. Grace isn't logical. Grace isn't based on our score. Grace isn't based on our performance, or certainly not on what we deserve. You've heard me say before is that grace really is getting what we don't deserve. We don't want what we deserve, right? Because we know that Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 tell us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the wages of that sin is death. And we don't want that. But that's what we deserve. But because of God's plan through Christ, we receive grace. Because if we're obedient to God's plan, if we follow God's plan, we receive his grace. We don't deserve it. That doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. But aren't we glad that it doesn't make sense? God's people are those who have received God's grace. See, the only reason Hezekiah survived a revolt of his own people when he tore down those idols, the only reason he survived the invasion of the Assyrian army, the only reason that he survived a terminal illness, the only reason he survived this incredibly huge diplomatic blunder is because God decided to extend grace to him. The only reason we have hope is because God decides to extend his grace to us. The only reason we'll survive our past mistakes, our present weaknesses, and our future failures is because God decides to extend, because we are his people through Jesus Christ, God decides to extend grace to us. That's how we survive. But that's also how we can thrive, is knowing that even though we're going to make mistakes, just like Hezekiah, knowing that we're not going to be perfect, but we're going to rely on God. We're going to turn to God in prayer. We're going to turn to his word for guidance. And we know that we're given God's grace. That's the greatest lesson that we can learn from Hezekiah. I believe that's the greatest lesson that we can learn throughout all of Scripture, is that's what God's people are. People who understand that we have weaknesses and flaws, so we rely wholeheartedly on God, knowing that it's only by His grace that we're saved, only by His grace that we get through. That grace that was extended to Hezekiah, what's so great about that, that grace that was extended to him is available to us today. That God offers that grace to us through the blood of His Son, Jesus. What does He ask us to do? Be obedient. Follow what He's told us to do. Be immersed in water. Come out of that water. Within that water where we're buried, we contact the blood, the death of Christ, and we come up out of that water, and we live by grace. And that's what's so amazing. If you need to know more about that, let us know. You can leave a comment here. You can get on the website, lindarode.com, leave us a message. But if you need to know more about that, please let us know. If you're a Christian, I hope you're confident in those three areas, that you understand you're going to make mistakes, but you rely completely on God, and you know that God's grace is what's going to see you through. I hope you have a great rest of your Mother's Day. I hope you're staying safe. Hope you're taking care of yourselves, getting out, enjoying the lovely spring that we're having. We sure love you. We miss you all. The Davison family says hello. We love you. If there's anything you need, has been said many times, if there's anything you need, contact the building. Again, leave a comment right here. Whatever you need, let us know. Lord willing, we'll all be back together soon. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Loves you. Love you. Have a good night.